July 2024 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and state the time.
Excellent. 7 p.m. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Here.
Commissioner Schneider?
Here.
Commissioner Spector?
Here.
President Sprain?
Here. Consent agenda items A through D are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items?
No.
Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
Second.
Move Bourne, second Spector. Roll call.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Here.
Commissioner Schneider?
Here.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. Motion. Okay. All right. So just to address the public that's here. So if you'd like to comment on the tennis and pickleball court discussion, there will be additional matters with the public after the presentation. So we're going to save everything related to pickleball and tennis for that section of our meeting, which will be shortly. Don't worry. Therefore, we ask you to hold comments on the subject until that time. So for any of you who are here tonight to speak on any other topics, it is our practice not to address questions at this time, but we will take comments under advisement. And if so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. Is there anyone here that is here to discuss anything other than pickleball or tennis? Seeing no one, I think we'll move on. So the first item on our next item on our agenda this evening is the presentation and approval of resolution number 959, Jenny Ruckel, 10 years of service. Oh, Jenny, get ready. all right. So it is my honor to read this resolution honoring Jenny. So glad so many people are here to hear about how wonderful you are. All right. Whereas Jenny Ruckel is employed by the Glencoe Park District as the administrative assistant beginning on November 25th, 2013. Whereas, in realization of her consistent commitment of time, energy, passion, and expertise to the betterment of services to both her internal and external customers. Whereas, during her service, she demonstrated outstanding organizational skills, written and verbal communication, software technology assistance, and project management, which have been an asset to the district's operations. Whereas, in addition to her technical skills, flexibility, positive attitude, initiative, diplomacy, and tact are important to the success of the agency. Whereas she was an integral part of the Park District team when we were awarded the 2019 NRPA National Gold Medal for Excellence, and we were a finalist for the gold medal in 2017 and 2018. Whereas Jenny's organization, knowledge, and adherence to Park District governance policies and procedures helps the district become an IPRA, IAPD Distinguished Accredited Agency for the first time in the district's history. Whereas Jenny has served the Glencoe Park District in a loyal and faithful manner for 10 years, and the residents of Glencoe have benefited from her dedication, professionalism, and attention to detail. And now, therefore, be it resolved, the Glencoe Park District Board of Park Commissioners, representing all the residents of the Park District, recognize the meritorious service of Jenny Ruckel and record it in the permanent record the Glencoe Park District for all to see. This resolution shall be in full force and in effect immediately upon its passage. All right, I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 959 for Jenny Ruckel's 10 years of service as presented.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Second, Spector. All right, discussion. I would just like to thank Jenny for her dedication. She's always willing to take on extra projects, whatever is thrown her way, and sometimes last minute things as we all run in and ask her. She serves as administrative assistant for all the department heads. She is our one and only assistant, so we appreciate all of her hard work. Anybody else?
Thanks, Jenny, for listening to all of our meetings.
Yeah, she does admit it. She has to listen to all.
It's very good. So we appreciate your time, your late evenings with us. And, you know, it's always great to work with you.
And you also help make sure we can get into our emails. All the lovely emails to our constituents out there. So Jenny does more than Like, you are the go-to person. You always help out with things. You always do it as well.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to work with you.
Yeah, I would like to say it's always a pleasure dealing with you, but it usually happens and always happens with you. If you're doing something, it's always the person. In fact, it sort of just happens and it disappears. It's like, well, it's nothing, even if it was very challenging. So thanks for the exceptionally high quality work you do, just making life easier for everyone else. So thanks so much.
All right, with that roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes.
Excellent.
Right.
Can we take a picture? And then, Jenny, before you leave, this thing's doing a weird blinky thing that I need you to fix before you leave. Do you want to go take a picture?
Yes.
Do any of the other board members want to
There we go. Just have to get up there, your vice president. We need someone to average out the height. Now you all have to go. All right, thank you. Watch it, it won't do it anymore. Oh, no, it's still doing it. Wait, come here, Jenny.
All right, so the next item on the agenda that is obviously much anticipated for this evening is the discussion of the tennis and pickleball court. So we're going to start with the discussion from the staff, and then we're going to take some matters from the public. So Lisa, Kyle, and Karen.
Excellent.
Looking forward to your presentation.
All right, so as the board recalls, last month the board came to consensus to approve the reconstruction of our tennis courts, so that would be West, Watts, Central, and Shelton tennis courts. Because they're half their useful life, so we have to take them all the way down and rebuild them back up. So this is the time, if we would like to do any different lining on these courts, this is the time to make that decision between, should we do tennis courts, should we do pickleball courts in these locations? So with that, we have a presentation for you, a little education on pickleball, some data of what we currently have, and the usage of those. So I'm going to turn it over to Kyle, our Director of Parks, and Aaron, our Marketing and Communications Superintendent.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, President. Thank you, gentlemen, to the public for showing up on this lovely evening to discuss pickleball courts. So as Lisa mentioned, as was discussed at the December board meeting, four of our existing racket court locations are in need of major renovations as they've reached the end of their useful life. At that meeting, the board indicated it was in favor of renovating two locations this upcoming fiscal year 24-25, and tentatively the remaining two locations in fiscal year 25-26. Which two locations do we will renovate? This year will ultimately be determined in the coming weeks from a combination of the ongoing court assessment, as well as programming and the logistical constraints and discussions that we have here tonight. Before we jump into the larger portion of the presentation, just want to get a couple of terms that we're going to talk through here, make sure we're all on the same page. So when we use the term dedicated court, we're referring to a court that is only lined and only available for one racket sport. When we use the term hybrid court, this simply means it is currently lined for and available for mixed use, meaning both pickleball and tennis. A location may have both a hybrid and a dedicated court. For example, West has one dedicated tennis court and two hybrid tennis courts, which host four hybrid pickleball courts. So hopefully that is clear as we kind of discuss each site here as mentioned those terms. So that brings us to why we're here tonight. With these four locations being renovated in the next 2 years, now is the time to decide if we need more dedicated pickleball courts, and if so, where. Converting the tennis court or a hybrid court to a dedicated pickleball court involves a different set of color coding, additional fencing, as well as a different footprint for the net posts. So the ideal time to do that work is at the time of a larger renovation project, so as to not to have to go back and rip out or redo something that is not in need of being redone. So really what we want to do here over the next several slides is just present some facts, some information, and statistics about our courts, and open it up for discussion with the public and the board to ultimately give direction. So I want to start with the standards. The National Recreation and Park Association puts out standards for the volume or quantity of recreational amenities based on the population size. The standard for tennis courts based on NRPA is one tennis court for every 3,252 residents. In the case of pickleball, it's one court for every 3,252 residents. In the case of tennis, it's one for every 2,805 residents. Therefore, in order to meet the NRPA standards, Glencoe needs to provide three pickleball courts and four tennis courts to its residents. We do exceed those standards. We currently have 14 tennis courts, which is 3.5 times the NRPA standard. Of the 14 courts, 10 are dedicated and 4 are hybrid. The dedicated courts are at Lakefront Park, Berlin, Watts, and one at West. It's worth noting that the two courts at Watts were considering dedicated tennis courts currently. They are aligned for pickleball, but the nets were removed this spring ahead of the 6 dedicated pickleball courts that were installed at White. We currently have 12 pickleball courts, which is 4 times the NRPA standard. Of the 12 courts, 6 are dedicated and 6 are hybrid, the 6 dedicated being at Weinberg, 4 hybrid at West, and 2 hybrid at Shelton.
Pickleball offers a lot of health benefits, as we all know, but it also can be considered noisy, and some people do not like that. To put it in perspective, 10 decibels is about normal breathing volume. 40 decibels is about a quiet office, light raining, or a stream. So the impact of a hard surface with a tennis ball and a racket would be about 40 decibels. 70 decibels is about a washing machine or a dishwasher, which is fine, it's very safe. It is the potential to be annoying. And the problem here is after 85 decibels, it can lead to hearing damage. The risk of damage depends on two factors, distance from the sound and then the time exposed to that repeated sound. So that's about 100 feet there, previous slide. From center court to the closest home at Shelton. So in order to combat some of those noise issues, the Spirited Willis Acoustics and Noise Council LLC report said pickleball courts built within 350 feet of residential homes need sound reduction. So like at Weinberg, we have these rink walls and mature arms, maybe kind of in our arms. That help reduce the noise around the court. But those built within 150 feet really need to be careful with the noise factor. So again, what can we do? Sound deadening panels, walls, vegetation. One of the issues we found with hybrid courts in general is people don't like sharing. There's some simple Google search here of conflict between tennis and pickleball players. It's not a problem for us yet, something we're aware of. But time usage on the courts, verbal conflict, monopolizing the courts by either tennis or pickleball players can be an issue. Also, the sheer number of lines on a court can be an issue. So on that respect, we would like more guidance on dedicated locations versus dedicated courts for play.
Alright, so now that we've kind of laid out just the facts and the information about our existing courts and their locations, as well as some concerns for consideration, we want to walk through each of the 4 locations that are up for renovation in the next 2 years to kind of showcase what the potential impact for noise would be at each of those locations. It is worth noting that there are currently mixed-use or hybrid courts at 3 of the 4 locations, Berlin being the only location that does not have hybrid courts currently. So the assumption is that there has been some exposure of pickleball noise to those neighbors. However, making them dedicated potentially would rise the quantity or frequency of that noise. So after each slide, showing the neighbor impact, Aaron's going to talk a little bit about some facts and information about court usage trends. So we're going to start in central Berlin. In order to illustrate the potential for neighbor impact, we plotted out the homes that are within a 500-foot radius, which is the orange circle, as well as a 300-foot radius, which is the white circle. At Berlin, which again does not have any current pickleball lines, there are 22 homes within the 500-foot radius, four of which are within a 300-foot radius, the closest neighbor being 225 feet from center court. It is worth noting six of the buildings to the east are commercial or multifamily dwellings. And just wanted to touch a little bit on parking in each location. While there is ample parking at and around central Berlin, that parking gets quickly taken up during school days and during the work week with commuter parking. There's also the potential for competing activities with baseball and soccer. So while there are a lot of spots, those spots do become quite limited with some frequency.
Okay. So we have a subscription to location data services based on use on your cell phones. It's a new subscription that we just got. It doesn't allow us to see anything related to school children or privacy issues or hospitals or any sort of private facility. But with that, we did geofence the court at Berlin to get your
No, I think it's fascinating.
So anyway, so we geofenced specifically just the courts at Berlin, and from there we can see we had 3,100 visitors in the last 12 months. 53% of those visitors live within 2 miles of the courts, and 48% of them are over the age of 55. The visitors really peaked during COVID, dropped during 2021, and then has gone up again a little bit this year. Court is busiest in the afternoons, especially on Saturdays, and most people spend about 74 minutes there. Compared to the other courts, Berlin has the smallest number of visitors, but again, it might be a little bit skewed because we're not counting those school children using them.
Next, we'll move on to West Park. As you can see, there are 30 neighbors within the 500-foot radius, six of which are within 300 feet. Closest neighbor is roughly 175 feet from center court. West is currently lined for pickleball on two of the three tennis courts. And similar to Berlin, there is a fair amount of parking adjacent to the school and along Willow, but that parking also gets quite limited during school, time to drop off and pick up. And we do have baseball there as well, so some potential for competing activities for those parking spaces.
Okay, so again, based on the location data, this is adjacent to a school, so the numbers again are skewed because of the children, they don't let us see the privacy. But we did geofence just the courts at West. This is our most popular court, getting over almost 9,000 visitors in the last 12 months. 41% of those visitors live in within 2 miles, 35% are over the age of 55. Busiest hours are from 2 to 5 p.m., Saturday's the busiest. It's busier on Saturday at West more than any of the other courts in our holding, including Lake Front and Weinberg. People also stay longer at Watson Weinberg than West. So.
It's important to know at West, both West and Berlin, we have agreement with the school district that they use those courts, that we share some of that property. So they use the courts during the school day for PE classes when they have those, I guess, skills that they're working on. So they're not always used, but probably in fall and spring, they always use the tennis courts for about a month.
All right, next we have Shelton Park. Shelton Park has 23 homes within a 500-foot radius, six of which are within 300 feet. Closest neighbor is roughly 175 feet from center court. It is important to note that the six homes on the west side of Green Bay Road are likely not impacted by the noise. They're quite heavily buffered by thick vegetation along the Green Bay Trail, the train tracks, as well as Green Bay Road itself. So if we remove those six homes on the west side of Green Bay Road, that would take the total number of homes impacted within the the 500-foot radius down to 17, six of which are within the 300-foot radius. There is ample parking around Sheldon Park. There is 21 parking spots along Old Green Bay Road. There's also off-street parking at off of Old Green Bay Road. That those parking spots aren't in competition with schools or commuters or baseball, soccer park.
Sheldon had about 4,000 visitors in the last 12 months. It's mostly busy during daytime hours, consistent play from 10 a.m. to about 4 p.m. and it's busier on Tuesdays and Saturdays. Average visits about 63 minutes, which is the shortest among all of our courts. Usage dipped slightly in 2022, but went up in the last 12 months. And of the four locations under consideration, it's likely the least busy.
And finally, we have Watts Park. Watts Park has 34 homes within a 500-foot radius, nine of which fall within a 300-foot radius of Center Court. Closest neighbor is roughly 125 feet from Center Court. A reminder that Watts does have pickleball lines, but the nets were removed this spring ahead of the dedicated Weinberg courts. Parking is available along Randolph, but that parking also gets eaten up pretty quickly with school drop-off and pickup, as well as programming at the Weinberg Family Recreation Center, as well as soccer and baseball.
This is our second busiest location. Gets a lot of repeat business compared to other courts. Visitors at Watts average 12 visits per year, as opposed to other courts are about 8. That's per person. Users, Sunday is the busiest day, followed by Saturday and Thursday. Courts are consistently busy from 9 to 5, peak times at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Visitors spend the most time at Watts, about 88 minutes. And in general, Watts courts users live closest to the court, 68% living less than 2 miles away. Only 8% of users live more than 30 miles away.
So with that, I think we're going to turn it over to the board and open it up for discussion. Again, just looking for a direction on do we need more dedicated pickleball courts? If so, which location is preferred? And if so, how many courts are preferred? We can leave it on this final slide, which is kind of meant to pull together all the information that was previously presented and have it all in one place. We can certainly jump back and forth to other slides if that's requested.
Thank you, Kyle. Before we have a discussion within the board, we are going to take comments from the public. So if you're here to comment on the tennis and pickleball courts, we welcome your input. Again, it's not our practice to take questions, but we will take comments. And please, if you wish to make a comment, step up to the podium. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. We have a lot of people here, so we are definitely going to be adhering to that timeline. I will have assistance.
I got it.
Thank you, Lisa. With time to comment, so looking forward to hearing your input.
I can go.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
You are first. Let's go.
So polite.
Good evening. It does seem that the board is considering this renovation plan, which apparently will take 1 to 2 years to finalize and implement. Before that plan is finalized and implemented, however, on behalf of many Glencoe pickleball players, I'd like to ask the Park District to please return the movable nets to the West, the Watts tennis courts. I should have said, I'm David Glickoff. I've lived in Glencoe most of my life. I grew up here, I raised my kids here, I still live here. With me tonight is a small representative group of Glencoe pickleball players. Guys, please raise your hands. I probably could have had 50, or maybe even 100 people today, but we want to be sensitive to the space limitations. We'd like the Park District to please return the movable nets to the Watts courts for several reasons, actually. First and most importantly, while we appreciate the courts at what's now called Weinberg, while we appreciate those courts at the Weinberg Center, please appreciate also that they tend to get very slippery and dangerous when they're light. and they have a different surface, and it gets dangerous. I know people who have been hurt playing there. And compounding that problem is sometimes it takes that surface 2 or 3 or 4 days to dry. In contrast, the surface at the wax courts are designed to dry very quickly, and obviously therefore are much safer and they can be used more easily. I mean, in my mind and the mind of the pickleball players in this town, it just makes sense to have the option of walking over from the ice rink to the wax courts when the lime courts are not usable. This is also true, and maybe even especially true, for the many people here who pay good fees to the park district in exchange for lessons on how to play pickleball. In the last season, we lost, I would say, a fair amount of time trying to fix the courts at the ice rink so we could use them. I mean, we would squeegee, we would sweep things up. We and the instructor would be wet backing the thing. And it was an annoyance. We lost a fair amount of time on that. We would have lost even more time had we gotten to the car and had to drive to West, for example. West, and as I think Lisa pointed out, West is not always available anyway during the school season. So even though we're available, we would have lost all the time. Indeed, because of the convenience and availability of the West tennis courts, I think we should have the option of using those courts even when the weather is dry. This would help to respond to the great demand. This would help respond to the great demand there is for pickleball courts in this town.
You're at 3 minutes.
Can I borrow 1 minute and the next person is going to speak?
I think it would be better to have the next person come up and present. Thank you. We have a 3 minute time limit.
Please, 1 minute.
We have a lot of guests here. We want to treat everyone the same, so we're going to stick to 2 minutes.
She wants to give them a minute.
Thank you.
If you would, 3 minutes.
We
want to be fair to everybody. We're
going to be fair to everyone. This isn't like Congress where you can donate your 3 minutes to the representative's
perspective. It's taking more time doing that than just letting them have a little more seconds.
We're going to move forward. I'm sure you have a great point. Perhaps another person is going to make it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Philip Wire. I live at 378 Madison Avenue. My home is directly adjacent to the Weinberg Center and is one of the homes you've identified as being within 300 feet of the Watts courts. I'm here tonight to ask the board not to allow the pickleball at Watts and to retain it for tennis purposes only. I can personally attest to the detrimental impact of pickleball noise. I'm not here to speak out against pickleball as a sport. I understand there's a lot of passion behind it, and I respect that. I'm here to talk about the impact on the neighbors of the noise that it causes. When the courts are in use at Weinberg, we find it almost impossible to have the windows open, as the noise is loud and incredibly distracting, especially for a group home. It's almost impossible for a group home. It's difficult enough to concentrate on anything else when one court is in use, but when more than one court in use, it's almost maddening to hear it. And with due respect to the study that was done for the noise reduction, I can tell you that it's not quite enough. We can hear it loud and clear across the field. Locating additional permanent courts at Watts will only increase the noise and disruption we already face from Weinberg. I note that all of the other locations under consideration have fewer homes than 300 feet and fewer homes than 500 feet of the location addition. Thus, you will impact fewer residents by selecting any other location than Watts. Put another way, those living adjacent to Weinberg and Watts should not bear a disproportionate amount of pickleball burden for this entire community. I've also taken an opportunity to ask this board to reconsider the hours which allows pickleball to play at Weinberg. Last summer, the courts were open from June to mid-October, 7 days a week, from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. That means pickleball is available and will begin this year every day during the summer and fall months, which is the only good weather we get in Chicago and in Glendale, from virtually sunup to sundown. It seems simply unreasonable to put the burden on all the neighbors of Weinberg and Watts to hear this. We should have a right to start our days free from the whack of the pickleball and the noise from the players. We should have the right to be able to open our windows for a few hours a day and enjoy some fresh air without worrying about the noise coming in. We should be able to have family time, which is generally Sunday mornings, free from pickleball. We don't have that. We are forced to close our windows and have to deal with the noise when people are playing. I therefore urge this board to revisit the hours of pickleball at Weinberg. I am not saying stop pickleball. I am not saying don't allow it. I'm just saying put in place reasonable hours. I would suggest that not allow pickleball before 8 a.m. on Monday through Saturday, or before 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and perhaps maybe on Sunday ceasing it by 7 p.m. As public officials, this board has an obligation to all residents of Glencoe, not just those who play pickleball. Put yourself in my shoes for a moment, and I think you will agree that pickleball from sunup to sundown for 7 days a week is simply unreasonable.
Thank you for your comment.
Thank you. Come on up.
Come on up. Feel free to get in line.
Hi, thank you for taking our comments. My name is Nicole Downey. I live on Greenwood Avenue. I'm the house reference for Berlin, the closest house that would be impacted. So I wanted to kind of speak about specifically how tennis versus pickleball affect our particular park. I will say that the student usage definitely increases the volume of people that are in there during the week, and there's almost no private use of the courts during that time because they use it very heavily for gym class, et cetera. So I think, I know I can't ask questions, but if you haven't gotten the school to weigh in yet, I would be very curious how it would impact their usage of the court as well as their opinion, because the classrooms, I think, are even closer than the houses in some cases. The other thing that I wanted to mention as well is that it faces the front of the homes in this case, and so the nuance that creates for all of us is that actually, even if I wanted to put up arborvitaes or tall fences or whatever in front of my property, there are actually limitations in the zoning code that I just double-checked today, so we don't really have a whole lot of options to even put up a tall fence or arborvitaes or soundproof, other than obviously extremely cost prohibitive, like all new set of windows from the house, which doesn't seem reasonable. So I just wanted to point that out, and I think that's one of the reasons probably why it wasn't in your last round of conversations about making it a dedicated pickleball court. So I just wanted to, you know, revitalize that and remind everyone that's kind of some of the specifics for our court.
Say
one more time.
I'm
655 Greenwood. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Lulu Wickoff, living in Glencoe for the past 30-something years. The one thing I wanted to say, because the statistics of how many pickleball courts you need per person versus tennis, having played pickleball in Glencoe for the last 2 years, there are seldom people, there have never been somebody waiting to play tennis who hasn't been able to play. The courts are full of pickleball players all the time. And I think you have to take into account how enormously popular pickleball is. It's only getting more and more popular. And in terms of Glencoe being a desirable town to live in, if you've limited the pickleball courts to the extent that there are not enough courts for people to play, it'll be very detrimental to Glencoe, to the reputation of Glencoe. Pickleball is, like it or not, with the noise, it's the wave of the future. More and more and more people are playing. So I just like you to really take that into account when you look at how many courts do you need, and maybe put more emphasis on, you know, ways to ameliorate the noise rather than limit the number of courts. Thank you.
So my name is Megan Dolan. I'm here with my husband Kevin Dolan. We live at 408 Madison. So I'm here to represent 400 Madison and 378 and Randolph. So anyway, we are on the eighth hole of the disc golf course, just that you know kind of where I am. And I actually paced off 400 Madison, which is about 40 of my shoes from the actual surface of the Weinberg court. It is impossible to be out in my backyard during
of the pickleball season, which happens to get more extensive. And it is not, it's not like tennis, obviously, because tennis players are further apart, and everyone knows this, and pickleball is incredibly social, and there's an incredible amount of yelling for some reason, and it's the plastic against the hardwood rackets. We also have a bang board, which serves lacrosse balls and pickleball players as well when there's no one else there. So I think Watts, or Weinberg Courts, if you're now calling them, has a multi-use, and it's always been well-used. In fact, Watts is a very well-used field, so we get our share of utilization. Whereas I think there are other places in Glencoe that don't get as much utilization, although I love the statistics because I've never really seen that breakdown before. I was curious to see the Lakefront Park was not on the list of potential pickleball courts. I know you renovated those this year from the grass courts. I was kind of sad because I never see anyone playing on Lakefront Park. As much as I walk through Glencoe, I've lived here for 30 years. I grew up in Glencoe. This was North School gym to me where I went. So I've been here for a really long time. And I know this is a big controversial issue with people. I feel like there's got to be some kind of noise abatement, but it is untenable to live this close. And I don't see any other courts that close as the Weinberg courts. So I'm not sure if the people who play pickleball actually live near a court and listen to that all day long. So I'd be interested in knowing where my pickleball players actually live. Do you live near a court? Because it seems like it's an all day long thing. I agree that the 7 to 9 p.m. and then the movable fences, the nets and everything else. So, not to take up any more time, I just want to put my vote in to utilize some other courts or make some dedicated courts somewhere else in a new place.
Thank you. I'd like to let the public know before we renovated Lakefront, we had extensive community input about pickleball versus tennis, so we have had that discussion. Thank you.
I'm the president of the pickleball down here, so 685, no, less than, I want to say about 4 feet away, maybe less than that. So basically, 665 Greenwood, yeah. And we know our neighbors can be too happy about it as well. But the whole point is location physics, and I know if you can see something, you can hear it. So the fact is that even if you put up some kind of sound pavement on those courts, you're going to have to put a 30-foot set of sound pavements to avoid the noise coming into the bedrooms of my kid. Right. So I would say the solution is, and obviously there's a lot of problems in other villages to do this. Why did you find some dedicated court away from these particular ones? Because I don't want to be selfish, but I'm not going to be, because none of those courts are kind of suitable, because they're way too close. And I mean, there's problems in Libertyville, what I've Googled, like Bluff, Lake Forest, Vernon Hills, and too many indoor, because pickleball is an indoor sport, like ping pong, right? It should be indoors. So I just don't see how any kind of sound abatement is going to do it unless you put up some really ugly 30-foot sound. And I think if you can stop the sound, these guys can play, but I think it's really unfair for the neighbors.
Can you all hear me? Yeah. 780 Prairie Road. I guess the question, first of all, I'm thinking is, a lot of you folks live next to Watts. They're playing like open shoot at 8 o'clock in the morning on the weekends. That doesn't bother you, but the pickleball does. Okay. But it just seems that is a facility that's been used for recreation, and pickleball is now being singled out. We used the courts previously across the street of the park before you did the hybrid system's okay, but like David pointed out, it's dangerous when it's wet. It's very dangerous when it's wet. So I think one gentleman brought up the point of maybe restricting the hours. I don't know really who plays at 8, it seems like a little dark, but maybe we do have to restrict the hours. And another thing is, I know that one of the neighbors did mention to me once that the backboard really bothered her because of the lacrosse players. So maybe the backboard has to go away from that location. And maybe that's contributing to a lot of the noise. And also, pickleball players aren't, you know, they're not playing from baseline to baseline. A lot of the game is at, you know, close to the net. Ding, ding, ding. So I don't know if it's like, I personally, when I park my car over there, I'm not even sure there's anybody there until I walk around what? The whole building to see if there's anybody there. And it's always a surprise, like, did anybody show up? I put it, you know, I sent an email out, let's meet this morning at 10 o'clock, and I have to walk all the way around the facility before I really know for sure that there's someone in there. Because I can't hear it from the street. Maybe it's my hearing.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ira Chaplin, 1035 Bluff in Glencoe. I don't live near the pickleball court, so I'm sensitive to my fellow residents' concerns. I don't want to be repetitive, but I think the Weinberg ice rink court is a great idea. I think the walls around it help muffle the sound from the neighborhood. It sends the sound up instead of out. But to reiterate, the waffle-like pattern in that the plastic grid tends to hold water for an extended period of time. As David was saying, all the other courts, outdoor courts, would be very dry. And just the water sitting in those cups can sit for days and days. And we've tried a lot of things to get rid of the water. But it's a bit of a flawed system, but I applaud you for trying it out. Maybe there's a better system we can use there. Hopefully we can get some more courts, some noise abatement, but just another supporter of the game. We've got a lot of people who love it. Thank you for your time.
Good.
My name is David Galkinan. I live at 930 Vernon. I'd like to commend the Park District for doing great analysis. You have the unenviable task of trying to reach consensus. What we're hearing today is what we always hear. We have two groups. You have the anti-noise folks, and you have the pickleball folks. Sometimes there's a little bit of crossover. We have to respect those opinions. When I look at the analysis that was done, and just from personal experience, there seems to be one obvious choice, and that is really Sheldon. You don't have an argument on noise because you're living right next to the train. So that should somehow weigh into the process. I think also, let's look at the pickleball situation itself. General rule, in order to make pickleball as fun and social as possible, you want a minimum of four courts. The two courts that are tennis courts could easily be converted to four. That works out very well. The parking situation is excellent there. You're not competing with schools or other recreation, and as a result of that, I think you could please the greatest amount of people. The noise perspective, again, you have the train, so that argument kind of goes by the wayside, but in order to make the folks that live close to that happier, I've seen acoustic walls put up in places like Flick and Glenview, which is a great model. I tend to play there more than I play in Glencoe for a number of reasons. There's more courts. There's a community there that's incredibly strong. One of the things we do, and I recommend we do this wherever we end up playing, a GroupMe app has resulted in a very social process and a lot of communication of who's there, who's not, what time are people playing. I'd also would definitely say stay away from reservations because that causes a lot of problems. Hopefully it's not just viewed as a revenue source. Open play, in my experience of over 10 years of playing pickleball, is the most social, the most fun, and you meet more people. I frankly know more people in Glenview from playing pickleball there and in Deerfield from playing pickleball at Shepherd there than I do in Glencoe. And I think you have a great opportunity here to create a better sense of community, and really enjoy this fastest growing sport in the United States for everyone. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Michael. I'm from the Bible. Where do you live? 519 Fortune Lane. I'm really interested by tennis courts. I'm a big fan of tennis, play a lot, two sons, whatever. And I'm concerned to see a loss of tennis courts. Pickleball is great, I enjoy playing it myself, but you know, I think it's a great shame to see it as a zero sum game. Pickleball is gained, tennis is lost, or vice versa. Hybrid courts, least worst option. One of the people can live with that. But I think perhaps the solution that comes out of the noise problems and the other dedicated courts would be we have to find a separate solution. I think the renovation of the lakefront courts has been great. And I've heard someone say that they felt that no one played there. I can assure you that I do. I know a lot of people who now play them fixed. So I don't know if the usage numbers reflect that they were in pretty poor shape or not much used. But I think they were increasing revenues, just as an aside. The other new places group, just one comment. I mean, thinking about before that conflict between tennis players and pickleball players and hybrid courts. You know, in a situation where people are booked and there are people playing opportunistically, my feeling is it wouldn't be necessarily more conflict between tennis players and pickleball players as between pickleball players and pickleball players if people look to go on and someone doesn't want to get on. So I don't see that as a reason to worry about use of hybrid courts in itself. And also one comment, I think someone said, oh, the fact that there's a train going past Sheldon from time to time means that people should worry about pickleball players. I'm not sure that's a fair comparison. So, it's basically, a separate site seems ideal. Solving those problems. Indoor is a great idea, which will give everyone 12 months of usage, which would make sense. And most of all, I've got a lobby for the tennis court to keep our members where they are. Thank you.
Lived in Glencoe 30 years. I used to walk my dog down every street of Glencoe and put him into tennis courts and throw balls because no one was ever in there. I'm a taxpayer. I signed up for pickleball lessons in Glencoe. Half the time we get to the courts and they were wet, and Carl was kind enough not to see any of his students or players wanting to be hurt. At the time, we used to be able to go across the street to Watts and play at the dry courts. As you say, they are dedicated pickleball courts at Watts, but they're only limited. We had a beautiful October Indian summer, and I was sick and missed some of the classes, and I went there to make up, and I couldn't play there because it was taken away for the hockey season. I do sympathize with anyone with noise because I would feel the same way. So I don't know what kind of solution there is. I know that pickleball has made my life so enjoyable in my older years. And I encourage everyone to pick up a paddle and play because you'd be as addicted as we are coming here fighting for it. So I don't know if we could have the temporary nets put back at Watts and just use it when it's, after it's rained. I don't really know what the solution is, but they were there before and we were able to take advantage of it. I don't know if there's panels that can be put up to reduce the noise as a temporary solution while you guys are figuring out where we can play. I just know I love playing, and it's sad that I have to drive to Northbrook or go to Highland Park to get a court. And I just wish that it would be more available in Glencoe so that we could all enjoy it. So I don't know the solution, but I've become an addict of pickleball. You all play it, it's so much fun. But I do have the noise. I would feel the same way you are. So I'm just asking for a compromise. And maybe in the meantime, we could have those temporary notes back. Because I paid for all these lessons, and then half the time I can't go. Or Carol says, you know, drive over to West. And then we lose half the lesson in just the commute. So that's it. I'm playing with somebody else's reader, so I'm done.
Anyone else? Oh, there we go.
My name's Charles Billington. I live in 404 Madison. My wife and I have lived there since 1980. We decided years ago to stay in our location because of its proximity to Watts Park and its proximity to South School. We have kind of fought the wars over the usage of Watts Park. It seems like this comes up every decade in terms of putting in a skating rink, at one point even moving the elementary school into Watts Park and everything else. In those meetings, I would remind the park district that it is the only park in Glencoe, perhaps in the 5 mile area that was designed by Jens Jensen, one of the most prominent landscape architects along with Frederick Law Olmsted in United States history. The park was designed to be in an open space, with the exception of the sledding hill, which is really a kind of an iconic feature. I don't like the idea that residents near West School are saying we don't want it there because of the noise. People who are living close to me are saying the same thing. People over at Shelton are saying the same thing. The park district owns a lot of land, and there are referendums that could always be put in elections. 100 feet from where I'm standing is a 4-acre field that used to be used for baseball exclusively, or isn't used for baseball and softball as much as it was. There's no reason why the park district can't consider making a bona fide, dedicated pickleball area in a sparsely populated part of land which the park district owns, such as over here, such as also close to the railroad station, also close to or inside the golf course. The golf course has many, many acres and it has lots of land that could be dedicated to a pickleball court, which would not be near any residents whatsoever. Thank you.
My name is Richard Bianco. I live at 490 Jefferson. I came to all the meetings for the lakefront property and stuff. And to be honest, after coming to this one, I'm an avid pickleball player, and I do have sympathy for all you folks that are close by. I don't know how I would feel if the courts were right up against my home. I can't answer that because I don't live next to a pickleball court. I do know there's a lot of noise. I think after the meeting, the location that David had mentioned, Shelton, to me would be the only place that I would even consider if you were doing something dedicated. And I know there are residents here that that's a problem for them too, so no matter where you put this, it is probably going to be a problem. I think the last gentleman that just spoke, I think we had said this back at the lakefront meetings, that we felt that we needed to find a location that was pretty much isolated from homes. And I've been living here for about 8 years. I don't know what properties are available to do something like that, and like even if that's even in a budget, I'm sure that's something that's probably not even considered at this time. I mean, if you're going to put something together, I would consider Shelton. One comment I wanted to make is back about the courts that were put on the ice rink. I actually was pretty involved in trying to help out with that, and I reached out to the park district and even offered my opinion on the courts that were being put in. A lot of these folks that play on them, we went and sampled them before you guys had purchased them, and I even had said that they were going to be a problem. They were going to be slippery. I play a lot. I'm not a certified instructor, and I have a lot of people that actually play on different courts, and those sport courts are actually very dangerous. Like, people put them in their homes. You could slip on them. They get wet. They're very slick. I used to play deck hockey on them. So they were never a good service to begin with, and I had offered that opinion at that time. But and I offered a completely different product. It is like a pickle roll that they put out that is the exact same service that they use at pickleball courts. It's just a thin mat that has the same coatings and everything on it. It's not slippery, and the water rolls off it easily. So if you are considering stuff like that, I mean, my services are available to help you with that, like to try to help you decide on what courts to go with if you're going to do that. As far as location, I think all these people have valid opinions. I think it can be a problem living next to that every day. And I'm not sure that I agree with adding more courts at Watts when you already have this court here or there, and then it turns into like a super center where you're going to have, you know, 30, 40 people playing at one time, and these folks will never have any peace from that. But that being said, I mean, I think the ultimate solution would probably be trying to find a place that is isolated. You know, and if it isn't that, then I think the only option would be Sheldon. So, thank you.
Tom Thurman, 449 Idaho Place. I had to speak because I live next to Sheldon. Wasn't planning to speak. I really look at the pickleball issue similar to the dog park situation, where, you know, a dog park next to your home is not something that anybody really wanted to tolerate. And we realized, I think, as Glenco, that maybe we can't have a dog park now because there isn't a suitable place. Similar to pickleball, because of the extraordinary noise that I'm hearing from neighbors actually next to them, and also what you read in the national press, I mean, it's a real issue. And maybe Glenco, I mean, we don't have an Olympic-sized swimming pool anywhere in Glenco either. There are things that we can have and things we can't have. We have a wonderful town, has a lot of amenities, but maybe you just can't have everything. And I know my wife, for instance, plays tennis in other communities, but there's, you know, more courts and more leagues, and it's not that far to go to find pickleball somewhere else. So I just don't know if there's a solution. You know, hopefully people can come up with a solution that works for everybody. Thanks.
Any additional comments? We really appreciate your input this evening. Definitely take it into consideration. It's great to see so many members of our community taking an interest in our amenities and looking out for the benefit of Glenco. So with that, I think we can have a board discussion and just double checking that we don't have any action items related to pickleball or decision on the court tonight. This is just simply a discussion.
Correct.
A quick question. Can you raise your hand if you responded to our pickleball survey that was the post survey that Zakita conducted, Aaron? We had a survey of 18
people. For the Weinberg?
Weinberg. Can you guys have a quick raise of hands of who responded to that survey? So is it a survey for the pickleball users? If you played pickleball at Weinberg, there was a survey to say, hey, how was your experience? Just quick raise of hand if you went, how many answered that? About 6, 7, is that right? Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for the comment. So I just wanted to opportunity yet to direct any questions to Kyle, Aaron, and Lisa about the presentation. So let's start. So are there any questions for the staff regarding anything that we've presented tonight? Well, Aaron, just a comment. I think that cell phone, I've seen that data source for office buildings. This is the first time I've seen it for tennis court. I was really interested in that. And just a comment that I'm looking forward to seeing that for
yeah, others. We have a subscription for the year. So.
Okay.
Playground. I want to see the playground.
Don't do it for me.
Don't do it.
Okay, so they.
It's a really cool way to track our foot traffic.
And I really appreciate, I think, having that the facts to support it. I think that there's a lot of anecdotal commentary here, so it's always helpful to have something that is a little bit more concrete. Any thoughts from the board on initial thoughts about what you're thinking regarding
what we should do going forward. Jordan?
I'm just curious if we have any data from other communities on how, where their courts are in relation to, you know, residences and average feet from court to residence, what they do for noise abatement, et cetera.
We can get that. The hardest part is that we are very landlocked in Glen Falls.
Well, yeah, I know it's,
right?
Yeah,
there's
I know
not it's, there's not a park that we own that is not within probably 150 feet from a house,
right,
including here at Takeoff. We
I'm just curious how other communities
right
compare in terms of that, not that that's going to
yeah
provide
so
us for a solution.
For example, Northbrook or Glenview, they have more open space, more, I guess, industrial, that they can put these pickleball courts away from homes.
Right.
We do not.
Exactly.
There's not a place. I mean, the only thing is if we bought the Hoover Estate, right, that's sitting there undeveloped. I mean, that has nothing developed there. But other than that, there's really not an outdoor location that's not close to houses. But we could definitely give you the data of other courts, but they will come back and tell you that they tried to put it as far away from houses as possible. But
well, yeah.
Deerfield, for example, Northfield, we can get some of those smaller communities and see how far they are from the houses.
And there was a comment about the golf course and just that it's a village property, and not
yeah
not park property or park district.
Yeah,
yeah,
we have no control over that.
No control. The other thing is, you know, I think this place behind Tinkin is the only girls' softball that we have.
Correct.
And it is used heavily by the girls' softball for teenagers. It's also the only lit park that we have for baseball as well, so you may not see it being used.
It's also used heavily for our
camps,
our youth sports, our daycare program that, you know, runs, you know, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day. So it is a very heavily used park, probably not heavily used park.
Yeah, I think it was very interesting. The reason why I asked, I went back and looked at the data, you know, we had about 20 people respond to the, hey, I use pickleball. Two of those responses, one was a 3, and it was a scale of 1 to 5. One was a 3 because they couldn't figure out where the lights were. And one was a 1 without any comments. The rest were all 5s. I am really surprised. I know we talked about the water. I know we mentioned that we were right dry back in, and nothing that our fellow community members said, you know, disputed that. But I'm surprised about how frequently the comments were about the water and safety. Can you explain a little bit more about that? Is this something we've heard a lot about? It did not come up once in the survey by anybody. And again, 7 people here, so at least 5 of them gave it a perfect in the comments first. But it kept referring to it. Very different than the speakers I hear today.
Yeah, it came up in both of our classes. What we tended to see was in the summer, that slab gets very warm. Gets to be, you know, 90 degree day, that dries very quickly. Spring, fall, not so much.
Okay.
We work with Carl, obviously, you know, Chicago, in the, you know, any time that the weather is unpredictable. So we knew that going in, that there was going to be times where we couldn't use it, and we could do the best we could, and we came up with a wetback solution. We came up with a new curtain that seemed to solve that.
Yeah.
But we knew that going in, that's a slab, mostly short to design with a pitch. We didn't have any dedicated pickleball courts in Glenville, and that was a compromise to add 6 dedicated pickleball courts, knowing that it's going to work 90 to 95% of the time. Yeah, we were surprised not to see that in the survey.
Yeah.
But it was one medium comment from the negative.
Yeah, that means we had
several people who commented on
so it's, I do want to make sure that these are not safe, which I think a lot of you mentioned the safety. I don't want people slipping and falling. It does not mean that we're going to necessarily build pickleball courts someplace else. It means these need to be safe in isolation. So let's just make sure.
We heard comments on the other side too in the email that they're safer than the other courts. So we had 100%. We had, I think, 1 or 2 comments. Lisa, you may feel safe with.
Yeah, so
we
got some people that responded to the email that couldn't come tonight. They're like, you know, we love the ice cream courts, I'll call them that, because we feel they're safer than the tennis courts, those are too slippery. So, you know, people have different opinions and they're right for their application, but there's both sides of the coin on that one. So, and we said going in when we did those ice rink courts, we were like, we know that sometimes they're gonna be wet, maybe 24 hours during certain seasons, that they won't dry as fast. Just like tennis courts are the same way. They're not always safe to use, and people have to use their discretion when they're like that.
I just want to make sure that we're addressing the concerns, because it came up 5 or 6 times tonight on safety. So
well,
I appreciate
Michael, I'm going to be honest with you. What we'll do is, which we did this year, is we'll, when slippery, when wet, use at your discretion.
Okay.
So just like we do for tennis courts.
And just like voting, not every day is a voting day. So
totally agree, yeah.
Yep.
As a voter, I'm nervous on the water. Yeah.
Or baseball, or basketball. Okay. There's always those weather things.
Fair points. Thank you.
I thought the presentation was excellent. I appreciate all the research. And as you start to slow down, it gets sort of more complex. I wouldn't like standards until you discover they don't necessarily apply and or they're not accurate. So I love the one pickleball court for every 3,252 residents, because it makes sense. But then as I look at the numbers, about half of the people who are using our course are coming from more than 2 miles away, which suggests, particularly for something like Westwood, they're coming from other communities. But then I hear the people who so kindly showed up tonight to talk and say they're going to other communities to play. So it's hard to figure out, and I don't know how to do it, what the actual demand is for course when you get enough to take care of people in Glencoe. I guess what I would want to be particularly careful of is that, and again, it's the complexity, but I wouldn't want to add more pickleball courts close to people's houses and then discover we're really just meeting the demand for nearby communities who don't have enough courts. So I guess what I'd like to see is, can they figure out the math a little bit better? How many courts do we need? And I did hear a comment about we should just have, no reservation, just show up and play. And on one hand, I like that, but then again, it makes me feel like we're rolling out the love of that for every community, but maybe disadvantaging. So I guess I said, I love what we have, but there's some more complexities maybe we have to figure out before we get to the step. Do we need courts? Do we need a company?
I can see some questions as well, which is, and I piggyback on what you just said, Bart. It's my impression that no community has enough pickleball courts to serve the demand, so I'm kind of trying to see how we fit in compared to other communities. I mean, I do think that we're a very small community that doesn't have a lot of open space, which makes it a unique challenge for us, right? But maybe other communities are struggling with this as well, so if people worry about other communities, there's still not going to be the demand, and maybe that's why we're seeing people shopping around for the opportunities. And second, if there is a possibility, so I'm an avid tennis player, but I don't have anything against pickleball, but I go to AC Nielsen because we do not have in-lit courts or the ability to play tennis during the winter. So we have this kind of partnership or ability to go to Winnetka and play. For certain things like paddle, we don't offer paddle in Glencoe. You don't have a swimming pool. You don't have a dog park. I know for paddle, we have like a resident fee to play in Winnetka in partnerships with other communities. Is there anything out there where there's a partnership opportunity, or is it simply that just there isn't enough pickleball space, so that's not even an option?
I think you hit the nail on the head. A lot of communities are struggling with capacity. Pell Park, I think, went to 16 courts at Kimmett Park, and they're still not meeting it. Some of it comes back to the community of pickleball. So to ensure at this point, what I found anecdotally talking to residents at Weinberg this year was there was one resident bringing a group of 5 or 6 friends from various different places to meet and playing that group, in addition to the traditional Glencoe groups. What happens is that Glencoe resident also gets to kind of be more out of park or wherever it might be. That's almost like a travel. Like, we go here today and go somewhere else. So, yes, that may explain some of where we're seeing that, but I'm not sure there's necessarily any other sort of want to partner because they're having the same concerns we are, the fastest growing sport in the United States.
So in some ways, I think kind of one of the takeaways from that is it may not be realistic to be able to meet demand.
Keith can I do this, I'm going to do it anyway. Is there a way to take this problem to get a little bit more research done? Is it possible for us to say, look, if we're allocating two courts this year for renovation for our capital plan, two courts next year, could we focus on the two courts that may just be out of sort of the realm of reason to put in pickleball because we agree that, hey, look, if there's four areas, and we agree it's going to be either, you know, at least one or two, can we focus on the two that we're going to do tennis this year and then take time to do things like have some of the pickleball residents enjoy an afternoon cup of tea at 4:04 maxing and really see what the experience is like? Do we have that option?
Absolutely. If we could come to consensus of what locations you do not want to put pickleball at, then we could do those two courts this year and then... You just tell us what more information you would need to make a decision, and we can try to gather that. I mean, NARPA did a lot of research to come up with those standards. You know, as I talked to other bigger communities, they're like, we do not want to be the pickleball mecca for everybody. Like, they were the first ones to put 12 courts in, and now everybody's going there, and they're like, we're not the pickleball. Everybody's not coming over to town. So I think as people catch up and build courts, it'll even out a little bit, but... just tell us what other information you need, and we'll be happy to provide it to you.
Yeah, I'll tell you my. There are two courts that I think are probably not ideal for pickleball. I agree with the residents that 400 block of Madison, I think that is just ultimately extremely close to people's houses. I have gone over there before, and yes, there is a hockey arena there. The hockey arena is not right on 400 Madison. Hockey arena is like a block and a half away. So that helps, right? And there are walls. That one seems to be probably the one I have the most amount of feelings for. I don't live anywhere near that, so it doesn't really impact me, but it seems that one to me would be off.
So that's Watts Park, right?
Weinberg.
Oh, no, Watts. Watts is still the park across.
The one across from the Weinberg.
The building is Weinberg. The park is Watts. So Watts tennis courts. Okay.
Tennis courts at Watts. I think that one to me kind of seems a little bit more of a different situation because it just really is so close to residents. And I know they had the backboard issue as well. So I'll start by saying that one to me just seems like it's probably not the best way to go.
Yeah, I would agree.
You agree?
I would agree with that.
Some more consensus on
well,
Stephanie, I would like to hear your point of view.
No surprise to anyone on this board. You probably know what I'm going to say. But I do want to say I appreciate the board at my work. I thought, you know, it's not the same as playing on a regulation size. It's just not the same experience than playing on the court. I just came from playing 3 weeks in Florida. You guys know how I just play pickle, so I will. I just like play tennis as well. It's just not the same experience. To me, not doing anything now is not an option. We already did that with Lakefront Park. I was the only commissioner who wanted a court there as well. I just don't see the reason to wait anymore. The demand is there, the need is there. We have limited land, that's not gonna change. I'm still fighting for a dog park, I'll still continue to fight for a dog park. You know, not having pickleball on my foot to me is just not an option anymore. I just don't see a reason not to have it. Not on every court, but definitely on some of our boards.
I'd like to hear if just, and Stephanie, I agree with you. I think that putting it off isn't the best solution because I think we'll be able to get the information first of all, but second of all, there's a lot of demand. So, and we also did not put pickleball courts in at Lakefront. I'd like to hear if others want to weigh in on, you know, Michael said that he, at least in terms of thinking about, kind of narrowing down our approach, that he didn't think that the courts at, in Watts Park were an option. Is there agreement? I mean, we can kind of go through the different options, but are there particular ones where we can start to form consensus on? Jordan?
I mean, my thought on it is I do agree with what you said, Michael. I do think that where you're talking about probably would be the worst in terms of, you know, the proximity to someone's yard or to a neighbor. But then my whole thought is I agree with you that, yeah, pickleball's becoming huge. We need to do it. We need to find a place. But on the other side, who's, you know, whose peace, whose like peaceful yard or home do we, I don't want to say sacrifice, but do we impact? And I get, you know, you live near a park, you're going to get noise. But, you know, the one person I mentioned, zoning restrictions prohibit them from even putting up any kind of vegetation or whatever that could help reduce noise in their home outside of getting soundproof windows, which is a very unreasonable ask for anyone to do. So I am torn with the where do we put it. I mean, again, I agree that, yeah, Shelton probably would be the best option. But again, there's still somebody there who you're going to impact. So, I mean, I agree we need to start kind of narrowing down where possibilities would be, and I think my number one would be Shelton. But again, I say it hesitantly because it's not going to not impact somebody that.
Yeah, I don't think there's a zero impact. I don't think there's a zero impact solution.
Agreed. There's
no. The question is, you know, we all live near, near parks. We're also good for those parks. Can you hear this every time we build anything? The Glencoe Trail. We heard, oh my gosh, there's going to be people are going to be walking on this trail and listening to loud music and thankfully the house, Frank Lloyd Wright House. There's going to be, you know, parties there all the time. The community changes. I think I like the approach of narrowing down, but we ultimately have to answer Stephanie's question. Do we want pickleball on a court, on some courts? Like, do we want pickleball somewhere? And then if the answer to that one is yes, which I will tell you something, I agree, I think we should put pickleball somewhere. We sort of have to narrow down where that is, and I think that's the question I'm trying to figure out.
So I think that, Jordan, from your perspective, if I understood you correctly, give Watts and Milton definitely out. Shelton seems like the best option. Milton, you have to go over and get Central School.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Oh, I don't know what we call it.
Berlin.
Thank you.
Berlin.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So long day. Central School. Or Stephanie, I haven't heard either about specific locations. I mean, if we were to put in more pickleball courts, I guess, can we kind of, are there areas that you would eliminate?
Could I, do I'm asking you to chair the meeting?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested, since we have a lot of people here who have market research information, I think it'd be valuable to ask, just raising hands. We've got these two concentric circles that 300 feet, 500 feet, I think. The houses north of the Watts Courts on Madison would all appear to be 500 feet or more from the new pickleball courts at Wyman. And I've heard people say, and I understand it's their issue, they can't open the windows, they can't use a yard if pickleball is played on those courts right next to their houses. I would be really interested as I look at these maps to get some verification. If there's anyone who lives in that area who wants the new courts, I think it's important.
Yeah, I literally asked the person right before this meeting who lives, the only house, if you look at Watts over there, there is a circle right next on the south side of
turn for the little thing.
Yes.
There you go.
There's one, two, three closest ones. My son's best friend was the third one. Right? Nope, go down. I happen to think I'm here
fault. They could not.
There are walls, there's the arborvitae, different soundproofing there.
Out.
500 feet looks safe on the map, but he said people here said 500 feet was so disruptive with the new
I think that it's probably not the best comparable.
Okay.
But I guess to that. Barry, I wanted to hear if you had any initial thoughts, and at some point we'll start, you know, this is our first discussion on this, right? But if you had any initial thoughts, so that at least when we have our next discussion, we can, the staff can bring back to us information on more specific courts. So do you agree kind of with Michael? You didn't necessarily tell them it's the best option, but are there certain courts that you would more likely stay away from than others?
I would agree that the courts next to the schools don't seem to be optimal. We've heard tonight that the hybrid courts at Watts, there's been a lot of issues. So process elimination. The one that doesn't have the biggest issues related to it would be Shelton. So, I mean, it seems to me, it's sort of like, that would seem to be the straw man. It's like, when we get to the analysis, is there a solution? Is there something there? Because at this point, we just don't know. We don't know what it would look like. We don't know, you know, where the seed would be. Maybe do some analysis there, see if that. I would say, if you're going to lose anyone, put it in one, that would seem to be place to
use sort of test analysis. Well, Stephanie, do you have an opinion on the Shelton courts?
Well, I just want to go back though. So let's go back like 2 years ago. We applied for a grant for Wells Park. In their drawings, we had pickleball courts there. So I think most of us were on the board at that point. I don't think you were joining. So, you know, why are we now ruling that out and not even really talking about that option when we went forward with the grant, that I think we're going to do that again when we have the opportunity. So that's our most visited court. I would like to talk to the school. I'm sure Lisa, you probably have.
I will have more discussion with them after this discussion. So
yeah,
if you advance any near a school,
yeah.
I will talk to it to the school district in more detail to see how the impact of the teachers. So I'm sure they have an opinion.
Yeah, and you know, they're the partner, and we all have that communication.
Right.
But we'll have that again. But again, we have that in the plan. We just considered adding a bathroom there. You know, these were all considered for West. So why now are we not considering that? To me, at this point, I wouldn't rule anything out. I think we need more discussion on location. But I would like to hear from the board if you're comfortable moving forward with dedicated courts. That's still a question that, you know, my opinion, I'm not clear on that direction.
Yeah, I think that from what I'm hearing from the board is if there were two options to consider for dedicated courts, they would be Shelton or West. And then I also hear that it's not necessarily, I think the board would like, maybe this is my interpretation, Me voicing my opinion as well. I think we'd like to hear more about the noise mitigation and think additionally about the impact. So I think, you know, before we say absolutely, I think for me, I would like to know, you know, what we would do to address the noise at those specific locations. I would like to hear from the school. I would like to you know, just think about it further before committing, but I think at least we can start to get more detail on West and Shelton. And from my point of view, I think Shelton probably, you know, makes the most sense based on the data, so that may have been in the park grant, or in the grant before, but this is
a new opportunity where we need to refinish the courts anyway. So, you know, we're going to be spending money regardless. So I don't think it would be, I don't think that that forces us to do West because of the previous plan. I think it's okay to open it up. Bart, you wanted to weigh in on something?
Stephanie's suggestion, and one of the reasons I really like it is instead of just saying, here are courts, I'm going to look at them, what would work, what wouldn't. I like the idea of this comparison because they're very different issues. West has more people coming into the communities, more courts, whatever. It would be interesting to have a comparison between West and Shelton, as opposed to saying, how about Shelton, yes or no. I think you learn more. If you might learn more, do an analysis of both of those courts, and then you say, you might say, well, I feel more comfortable with my decision on the course we found to pick based on having done an analysis of the courts. And I don't know how much you have to do that.
Yeah. Just one thing I want to mention is with the data, looking at the number of courts versus the number of visits, just the usage per court is important, because sometimes there's more courts that West versus Shelton is very limited because of the way pickleball is played there. So tends to be less people visit and tends to be certified to last institute. So there's a lot of different elements that go into skewing some of that data. So I'm not sure how much, I'm not sure how easy it will be for us to get something that's meaningful.
So I'll put this out there that I feel pretty strongly that Watts is unacceptable. I don't think you'll see me vote to put pickleball there. My feeling is that we do deeper dive on West versus Shelton. Those two seem to be kind of the right for it. Stephanie, I'll find a second question. I do think we should have pickleball on traditional whatever material is on the floor for pickleball. I think it is growing, I think our community wants it. And you know, it's very hard to do something that is zero impact to everybody. When we built the playground at Woodlawn, we heard the exact same thing, and people may not want their children yelling and screaming and running around, but for the benefit of the community, it works. So I am all for having pickleball. I don't think we're voting on that exact thing today, and I will strongly support you on that. I'll support the community on that. I just don't think those reports are sort of viable locations at this time.
I think we have to remember, though, we will get calls and emails no matter what location we choose. We're not hearing from every single person tonight. Not only that, people will say they didn't know about the meeting, they weren't informed. Well, you know, we need to remember that because we, you know, I've been on the board for 6 years. I know. Whenever we build something new, what we're going to have. So keep that in mind. I don't think we should rush to a decision on where it is right now. I don't think we should wait. The two courts we pick, at least one has to have pickleball for this next year. That is my opinion.
Well, we do have to. So we also are having to figure out which two courts we're working on this year.
Well, we do.
Yeah. So I don't think we figure out which one's on pickleball.
I think that. What I would like to see out of this discussion tonight is just this next direction and next steps. So I think that there is, from what I hear, consensus to at least favor looking at West and Shelton so that we haven't officially, you know, voted on anything yet, so nothing, you know, officially decided on here. And I do agree with you, Stephanie. I think, you know, we haven't heard from anybody from West tonight, and clearly there's a number of affected homes in that area. So I think that this is going to be a continued discussion. We will continue to get feedback. We also receive feedback via email. But I think that in addition to narrowing down the course, I think from what I hear from Bart and Jordan and myself, I want to get more information on if we do proceed, what are we doing specifically and how effective is it to mitigate the noise.
Okay.
I think I'm agreeing with that.
So what you want staff to bring back is what noise mitigations we could do and how effective it is
for those
proven
two
to be
locations.
So far for those two locations.
Just the two, not the four.
Not the four.
I think that there's enough consensus in the area down to two. And that would also, you know, we would be able to have four dedicated courts in either of those locations. Or how many?
At West, how many can we do?
So at Shelton, it could be four for sure, potentially six. At West, it could be six for sure, potentially eight.
And that's if we take all tennis out. But all could there be four dedicated pickleball and two dedicated tennis? Because we would have to keep tennis courts there at West because they are used for school. So we can't totally eliminate all tennis courts at West. So
I can bring back all the combination options.
So we'll bring that back too.
And then also the park grant, and to what extent that receiving that would be dependent on pickleball?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to make one more comment. I don't mean to be controversial, but I just want to say we had this discussion when we put in the Weinberg court that it could be beneficial to make that, to also have pickleball there, because the players were already there. So we all had that conversation in this room, so I don't want to forget that. And go back to, not delete that option, because at some point we talked about that as board and staff talked about that.
We absolutely did, and as we see the use of Weinberg now that we've added a whole nother, really utilizing a whole nother floor, so we doubled the space. I honestly don't think we have the parking there to accommodate both the camps we'll have in the summer, upstairs activation, the soccer programs. It becomes a parking problem already with Watts, the ice rink, and the after school programs that we're doing there. Try to add now four pickleball courts there that adds, that many more cars to it. So while I was like, well, that might be cool to do a big complex, now I'm thinking, we just don't have parking to accommodate all those different activities. I think we have to spread it out. Not to mention, it would be nice to have pickleball available on two separate sides of town for people if they don't have to go as far. But that's kind of where my thinking is now that we have activated so much space at the recreation center that we're lacking parking at that site, and add more of that kind of traffic. Because we know pickleball doesn't just bring in like tennis. If you have two tennis courts, four players, pickleball, because it is so social, brings a lot more people. Not just if you have eight people playing, it's really could be 20 people sitting there waiting to get on and rotate through. It's just a lot of cars.
And we have a new board member and new information. So is that enough information?
So this is what I have for you. So you want noise mitigation for both West and Shelton. I'll contact the school because that impacts West to see because that does have temporary or hybrid pickleball courts are used a lot, so they would have a good idea about how that affects the noise affects school. And then we'll find out what kind of options we can have at West as far as courts, tennis courts and pickleballs, if we have to keep two, I believe. Accommodation options. Anything else?
How it
parking?
The park, correct.
How it affects the plaza again. Yes.
No. And any data from surrounding towns.
And data from, what kind of data from surrounding towns
just
are you
like
looking for?
Average proximity of residences to pickleball courts. Again, if we have like smaller, I'm not looking for.
I'll look at the Deerfields, Northfields,
something
the small ones that are more congested.
As equivalent to
equivalent?
Us.
Okay.
As, can be. Not everyone's going to be as landlocked as we are, but.
Okay.
Just to see what they, how they laid it out.
Okay.
And we do publish all our agendas prior to meetings, so there will be further opportunity for not just the board to weigh in, but the public as well.
So just so the board's clear, we delivered letters to all the neighbors of all tennis courts with the exception of Lakefront, because that was already decided. So those letters went out. Anybody who's ever expressed interest about pickleball or tennis, which was extensive through the last couple of years, were notified via email twice. So there's been a lot of notification that went out on these meetings. So they'll say they don't know about it. They, I guess, aren't paying attention at this point. Okay, so I will definitely get that information.
Okay. Well, thank you. I think this is going to be, you know, we'll continue to have discussion. We do have a lot on our agenda tonight. If those, we're going to move forward in our agenda, so if anyone wants to...
Can we have one more question?
We do not take questions at this meeting.
But you can give me a call in the morning. I'll be in the office.
Thank you. You can follow up at a later time.
Absolutely. Thank you all for coming. Appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, John, I don't know if you want to wait a little moment if anybody can stand up and stretch.
Actually, finance, we don't really need to deliver a report today because it was November, and yet it's too early for December, so we can, based on time, we don't have to deliver to finance. Unless you have any questions.
Are you have something for me?
No, I mean,
yeah. Can we ask people if you're going to have discussions, if you could move out in the hallway so we can finish?
Yes, we have a lengthy agenda to get through this evening.
I so appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, John, what do you think?
I was just going to mention that the budget process is progressing along nicely. We're planning on presenting that at the February 6th meeting. We had presented this projection in mid-October, I think. Really, I think the most projections are still working at the end of the year. So we're going to have a very positive position.
Okay. Thank you. So, Lisa, you're next up with the report.
Thank you so much. So, as you said, the board's the budget's coming along great. We'll present that at the next committee meeting. I hope y'all had a chance to read our y'all. I'm from the South, apparently. Today.
I like it.
You like it? Okay.
I like it.
Our year in review, all the accomplishments, we'd be here for another hour if I went over all of them. So very proud of my team and everything they accomplished. You know, they look at our strategic goals, they look at our ability to become more efficient, and they've done amazing things to help us reach those goals. So I look forward to see what we do after the comprehensive plan, but please take the time to read over that year in review and see that everything that we've all accomplished. Other than that, the park grant, we had a really big check. We were very excited about that, we were very excited because we've heard horror stories that reimbursements from the park grant were coming very fast, and we got ours probably due to John and Kyle's diligence in making sure all the paperwork got in and stayed on top of it. We got a big payment already on that, so thank you for that. I have to say that the ice rink had a great winter break. Bobby told me today that's a pretty big chunk of our revenue in that facility, and we had the weather was very favorable, so it's going very well. I've heard nothing but positive comments on the facility. We moved our before and after school program back to Weinberg from South School. We are so appreciative of the school for housing us, but it sure is nice to be in our own space, and the kids love it, and I've heard a lot of comments from parents that they really enjoy the space and all the equipment that's up there and there. Other than that, do you have any questions? So, with a matter of time, do you have any questions that...
It was nice to see all the new equipment in there, and the kids playing with it.
Yeah. It's really cool. The rec team did a great job, Adam and Erica, and really took time to pick it out. So, that was our goal. Our goal of our before and after school is not... should not look like a school setting. They should look like something to look forward to, like going to their second home and really enjoying different activities. So they exceeded my expectations on that. So, any other questions?
Lisa, am I supposed to have something that I can? I think there was one of the stipend requests.
Yes, there's a little. There's a memo right here. I just gave a little. Is it on your, right there? You on? Yeah, that's it. There was just a summary memo on that one.
Okay, thanks.
Just everybody I should have gotten, I put in there. So.
Okay.
Oh, this is the Glencoe Youth Services.
Yeah. So there's Glencoe Youth Services and GGHP. Their annual stipend request. So their reports were in the board packet. We don't take a motion. We just need a consensus, and then we add it to the budget, and it approves during the budget process. Right now, we have $5,000 earmarked for both. GYS also gets use of our facility, so we do improvements to that facility because we want a good standing, and we did use it last summer also for our camp program. They're a great program, good standing. They don't really duplicate our services. We do not do a drop-in teen center. We do offer open gym and fitness center and, you know, beach and skating, but we don't have a necessary after-school teen center they can go and hang out in. So that's unique services. They kind of do duplicate services in their YAP and their SNAP program, which is for children with our adults and older youth with special needs. Obviously, we're a partner with NSSRA. They have a professional staff. So I recommend putting $5,000 towards, which they requested towards their teen center, but not towards those other two programs. As far as GJHP, they also do an OASIS program. It's mostly during the day, but they do have after-school programs. The ones during the day during the school, the school funds that and houses that. So they're looking for funding for their OASIS program after school. They do have a theater program that looks, based on their budget, looks to, you know, generate revenue for them. That is a duplicate of services. We do also offer youth programs that they're required to meet their direct and indirect expenses for that. So they're asking for, they asked for $7,000. I would recommend $5,000 for their OASIS program. That is what we gave last year, if we were to give anything. And they have a very healthy fund balance. If you looked at GYS does not have as healthy as one. GGHB definitely has a very healthy fund balance, and they have for years. So
that theater program is doing well.
So I'm surprised they're, really, I'm actually surprised they're asking us for money, because they could use that profit they're making in the theater program to offset the OASIS program. So.
Do we own the
Glenn Creek
Services building?
We do. Our building.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
we lease it to it for $1 a year.
Okay.
And then we make improvements to it.
Okay.
Every year we allocate between $5,000 and $10,000, depending on what we need to do, just because we really want to keep that building should we ever need it in the future.
So we provide the building for $1 and provide $5,000.
And $5,000,
okay.
Correct.
Great.
So, I know a lot of us have heard this every year. This is your first time going through these. Do you have any questions for me?
No.
Okay. So, this is recommending the $5,000 stipend for both.
Is there consensus from the board?
Consensus for?
The $5,000 stipend for both.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's what you need?
Yep. Is that okay? Everybody agrees? Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and keep that in the budget.
All right. So the next is an action item. So this is beyond the base, which is what we had discussed for the referendum.
Correct.
I entertain a motion to...
Beyond the base. That's the company?
That's a consulting firm to help us with the marketing and communication of a referendum. Yeah.
So I entertain a motion to approve the Beyond Your Base agreement as presented.
Second.
Okay. Anybody have any additional?
I just want to say that thank you so much for the feedback from the board. We did go back to them, as you saw by the agreement. They did lower the amount of services they're going to give, which is, I think, more in line to what we need. So, and with that, the fee. So we appreciate this, because I think this is going to be a big help. With Aaron, because it's really focusing on our communication and marketing. We told them very clearly that we didn't really want to do a all-out yes campaign, so we didn't need that part of the service. But what we really wanted to do was educate people why we need this, and they thought that they could definitely help us in that area. So they said, other than Glencoe, Beverly Hills was the only one that ever asked for that part of it to be removed. So We're similar communities. So.
Can we estimate what, about what the real expenses would be, or should it be free, or just going to be?
It'll be sounds like mailing costs and things like that. Hopefully, we can do most of it either via Zoom or when they're in town for other people. They're doing a couple other referendums. So we think that any travel costs, that's what they'll be, travel costs, I think. But they're doing about three other referendums in the state of Illinois in the area this year. So we could probably share those costs with other, because he comes from Colorado. Colorado? Yeah, so we'll share those.
So, yeah, this is Chicago office, but he's out in Colorado.
He's out in Colorado. He consults with White and Company, is the company he's doing.
Okay.
Yeah. So we would might have some travel costs, might have some, like if he's helping doing survey, things like that, office. It shouldn't be that much.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Kobe? Mr. Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes.
So.
Okay, do we have any other business?
I do not have any other business.
Okay, we were going to do a very brief executive session.
Perfect.
So thank you so much, everyone, for your participation.
So
and have a safe drive home.
I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to stay in the room, but I'll be out there because you're going to need help with this.
Uh-huh.
So if you want me to get you, if you want to do the adjourn open session part of your agenda memo, will get you into executive session. I can switch the tapes and everything before you start talking.
All right. The board will now enter into closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion that pursuant to Section 5 ILCS 122 of the Open Meetings Act, the board will enter a closed session to discuss the personnel as mandated by Section 2.065.
ILCS 120-2.
B1, those present during executive session will include all commissioners.
Okay. Any motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Lisa, please.
Okay, so I need all in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
So it's 8:52, and so I'm going to stop this tape. Okay, so this is what you